The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the Vikings do what the Vikings do. That team just always gets in their own motherfucking way and just always comes up short. That's just what the Vikings do, and they did it again last night in Philadelphia. The Eagles got the win 34-28. But it was kind of funny because in my personal opinion so far, and yes, I know I'm a Cowboys fan, so you'd think that I'm biased a bit, but in all reality, the Eagles have not been very impressive offensively in the last two games, other than DeAndre Swift. Of course, DeAndre Swift had an amazing night last night. He rushed for 175 yards and a touchdown. So he had a great night. Then Devontae Smith also had a good night, 131 yards and a touchdown. But I mean, like, Jalen Hurts is, he's running around a lot more than he needs to be. He's thrown a couple of interceptions, but they've been very, very vanilla so far, especially in the passing game. I mean, hell, even A.J. Brown was in an argument last night with Hurts on the sideline. So even he was getting frustrated. Now, he did end up getting some catches shortly after that conversation they had, but just generally speaking, the Eagles' offense has not been impressive. Their defense, on the other hand, is why they have won these last two games. That defense had Kirk Cousins running around. They were able to force many turnovers last night. They had four fumbles last night, so that was big for them. And it set them up in good field position, and they were able to just keep the Vikings out of distance, because the Vikings actually did end up making a little bit of a run in the second half. But in my opinion, I knew they weren't going to win just because they got in their way too early in the game. And when you just have that many turnovers, it's really difficult to overcome that. And they weren't able to overcome that. And the big play of the game, really, especially for the Vikings, I don't think it was a game changer, but it was a huge play, is the Vikings were driving towards the end of the second quarter. It was right before the end of the second quarter. It looked like they were about to score. Justin Jefferson had this big catch. It would have set them up definitely in field position, would have set them up at about the like 5-ish yard line. But instead, he ended up reaching for the touchdown, and he lost the ball, fumbled the ball in the end zone, and it ended up being a touchback, and the Eagles ended up getting possession. And one thing I am absolutely sick of hearing about is the complaints against this touchback rule, because I love the touchback rule. I think the touchback rule is one of the best rules in the game, just because it really, really just means that you need to not reach for the end zone. It's always a risk, and it should be a risk for you, because, I mean, this game is so offensive. All the rules are just all for the goddamn offense, and you know what? On occasions, the defense deserves a fucking bone. So give them the touchback. The touchback rarely ever happens. Touchbacks happen maybe like 5 times a season, if even that. And to me, like I said, it makes it more difficult for you to want to reach out for the end zone. Yeah, you're Justin Jefferson. Yeah, you're a damn good receiver. But you might want to think twice about reaching for the end zone. I know sometimes you don't, but that's the risk you run. And I think it's an excellent rule. I've always loved the rule, and I just think it throws a different type of wrench into the game. Now, most people don't like this rule. Every time it happens, they cry, moan, and bitch like they always do about everything. But it's a great rule, and I think it just makes the game that much better. And like I said, the defense rarely gets anything going their way, so they deserve that shit. And like I said, that's the risk Justin Jefferson ran, and he ended up, it was a touchback. And so then not only did the Eagles get the ball back, but they ended up getting in field goal position. Now, not easy field goal position, but for a 61-yard field goal that the kicker made. So there was 3 more points from a turnover from the Vikings that really just cost them in the end. Kirk Cousins, he actually had a pretty solid game overall. He packed the stat line as he always does. He had 364 yards and 4 touchdowns. So yeah, he had a pretty solid game, but just overall the Vikings got in their own way. And now they have started off the season 0-2. I will say lucky for them. I think their division is a crapshoot. So, I mean, they still have a shot. And I mean, it's very early in the season. Everybody's got a shot at this point. But I mean, they just are getting in their own way. And it's like these type of games usually cost you in the end. So we'll see what happens with the Vikings, but that's what they do. Like I said, the Eagles offense, very vanilla, not saying they can't get it going, not saying they won't get it going. Their defense looks really damn good. Really damn good. Can't hate on that. They are doing some big things. They are why they have won these last two games, because the defense is getting those takeaways and setting them up in good field position. So the Eagles' defense looks solid. Their offense does not. All right, so let's move on to the rest of week two. Also this week, we're going to do my head-to-head picks with Simon Ruvalcaba on the show again, just because we weren't able to record a show for him. Last week, he and I both tied at 9-7. So this week we do have some differences. Actually, we had a difference in last night's game. As you all know, I went with the upset with the Vikings upsetting the Eagles, but of course that did not happen. Simon ended up going with the Eagles 27-19. So he has now taken a one-game lead over me, but we do have quite a few differences throughout the rest of the week. So anything can happen, and it's very early on in the season. So let's get to what we have going on week two this week, beginning with the Green Bay Packers at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Packers are a 1.5-point favorite. To me, last week was just kind of, I don't know if I believe in what I saw with the Packers. I feel like that might have just been a big win for them, and they're going to come back down to earth this week. I feel like a lot of people are overlooking the Falcons, including myself. I don't really believe in them, but I think they're a team that's very capable of getting some decent wins along the way, and I feel like this is going to be one of them. I think the Green Bay Packers kind of, you know, they went up against a shitty team last week, and I think the Falcons have a bit more heart, at least what they showed. They have a lot more heart than the Bears do. Not that I think the Falcons are a really good team, but I just kind of feel like they're going to get it going on the ground. They're going to score enough points, and they're going to get it going defensively, where I think this is going to be a close matchup. And I have the Atlanta Falcons winning 20-17. And Simon also has the Falcons winning 23-21. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 9.5-point favorite. They are coming off of that just terrible Monday night loss against the Jets, in which Josh Allen was just the turnover machine. I do expect him to turn it around in this game. That is usually what he does, especially because the Raiders, they're a team where you just don't really know what you're going to get from them. Even though they did have a pretty solid game last week and Garoppolo looked really good, I still am not convinced on anything with them, whereas I feel like the Bills are going to bounce back this week. I don't think they're going to blow them out of the water offensively. I do think it's going to be a relatively close game because I still feel like the Bills are kind of finding their way, which is, it says a lot because they shouldn't be that team since they've been this solid core for about 5 years now. So they should be a competitive team who isn't finding their way, but they really, Josh Allen most certainly needs to cut down on the turnovers. So I do think it's going to be a close game, but I've got the Bills winning this one 24-16. Simon also has the Bills winning, but he's got them winning big 41-10, which honestly I would not be surprised by, because historically when Josh Allen has a really bad game, he tends to have one of those really big games the next game. So I wouldn't be shocked if he comes out and throws 4 touchdowns. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now the Bengals are a 3.5-point favorite, and the Bengals are just coming off of that just atrocious game, offensively especially, but just overall as a team, they looked horrible, and I think they're going to bounce back in this game. I think the Ravens, I feel like the Ravens and the Bengals are in that same point. They're playing in the same way right now, where they're still trying to find themselves. They still have a lot of kinks to work out, but they will eventually get going. I believe they're both good teams. This is a division matchup, so I expect it to be just a solid game from both of them. But I do think the Bengals, since they're at home, coming off of that bad loss last week, I think they're going to eke out this one 28-27. This is one where Simon and I actually disagree. He does agree that it's going to be a close one as well, but he has Baltimore winning 19-16. Then we have Seattle at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are a 5.5-point favorite. The Lions have had quite a bit of time to rest. The Seahawks are just coming off of a completely unimpressive performance at home against the Rams. And I just think the Lions right now are feeling themselves, especially offensively. And I just kind of have a feeling they are just going to roll over the Seattle Seahawks 31-10. And Simon pretty much has the same thing, Detroit rolling over Seattle 35-20. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Chargers are a 3.5-point favorite. The Chargers are coming off of a heartbreaking loss last week. The Titans are too, but I just don't think it was as heartbreaking as the Chargers. The Chargers were coming off of a huge offensive battle. And usually when that happens, they tend to bounce back and have a really solid game. And I feel like that's going to happen in this one. The Titans have yet to show me that they're a legit team yet. And I still have a lot of questions about them, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And that's not a good thing when you're going up against the Chargers, who have a lot of weapons and they could score a lot of points. So I think the Chargers are going to go into Tennessee and stomp the Titans 30-14. This is another one, though, where Simon and I disagree. He's actually going with the Titans in a win 30-20. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 2.5-point favorite. And the Bucs are coming off of a big win last week over the Vikings. And Chicago's coming off of a terrible loss against the Packers. And they really showed absolutely no heart. So I don't know how I could take them in this matchup. The Buccaneers are at home. They seem to be feeling themselves. And just the Bears just looked awful in all ways. So while I don't think the Bucs are going to be that legit of a team, I think they're a better team than the Bears, at least at this point in time. So I do have Tampa winning a low-scoring game, 17-7. And Simon also has Tampa Bay winning 23-20. Then we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite. They are coming off of that close loss. Looks like they're going to have Travis Kelce back. And then they're also going to have Chris Jones back, who just signed his extension. So they're going to be pretty much back in full force, and I don't think they were that off last week. I feel like they just missed it, and they easily could have won that game. So I feel like with Kelce back, with Jones back, they're going to look like a much different team. They're coming off of a loss, so I don't really expect them to come out and lay an egg, but I don't expect the Jacksonville Jaguars to roll over either. I do expect this to be probably one of the best games of the weekend, just because I feel like Jacksonville really is on the come up. And I feel like they have a lot of potential to be a good team. And I think they can actually keep up with the Chiefs both offensively and defensively. But I think since the Chiefs are coming off of that close loss, I think they are the better team. I don't really see the Chiefs losing two in a row. So I have the Kansas City Chiefs winning 20-17. This one is where Simon and I disagree. He actually has Jacksonville winning a close one 30-28. Then the last afternoon game we have, or the last early game we have, is the Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Texans are a 1.5-point favorite. Don't ask me how that's possible. How are the Texans ever favored? Especially because the Colts looked pretty good last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I said are a legit team. And the Texans are a shit team. So I don't know how the hell the Texans are favored in this one, but they are. But I'm going with the Colts in this one. Easy. Actually, the Colts actually showed heart last week. While I still think they're going to have a lot of growing pains throughout the season, they still, when you play with heart, you're going to get some good wins. And I think they're going to stomp the Texans 28-10. And Simon also has the Colts winning 23-16. Moving on to the late afternoon games, we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the 49ers are a 7.5-point favorite, which I think is way too much of a favorite for them just because this matchup is always an excellent matchup. I mean, it's usually close. It comes down to the end. They go into overtime. Usually those insane, like, walk-off, like, kicks from far away or just a... It's always a great game between the 49ers and the Rams, at least since Sean McVay and Shanahan have become the coaches of these respective teams. So I don't know how the Niners are a 7.5-point favorite. I respect the Niners. I think they're a damn good team. But I'm sorry, the Rams are a damn good team too. The Rams are 2 years removed from the Super Bowl. And yes, they're coming off of a horrific season last year, but They showed a lot of heart last week, so I think this is going to be a close game. I could see this one actually going into overtime. I think it's going to be a battle and a body bag game, as George Kittle has used the term before. I think this is going to be an excellent matchup, as it usually is. But I have the Rams eking this one out 21-20. This is where Simon and I disagree once again. He has the 49ers winning this one 28-18. Then the New York Giants are at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Giants are a 4.5-point favorite and coming off of one of the worst losses in their franchise's history. Ha-ha. But the Cardinals, they have absolutely nothing to be excited about this season as well. Even though they played the Commanders pretty decent last week, I don't expect them to really, I mean, they just really have nothing going on. Whereas the Giants, they do have Saquon Barkley. They do have a okay defense. I don't expect this to be a high-scoring affair. As a matter of fact, I expect this to be one of the worst games of the weekend. I do have the Giants winning, though, 17-14. And Simon also has the Giants winning a close one, 23-20. Then the New York Jets are at the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. And I expect the Cowboys to do exactly what they did last week. I expect, you know, Zach Wilson is a terrible quarterback. And when he's under pressure, he's even worse. So I kind of have a feeling this is going to be another game where the Cowboys defense dominates. We get some turnovers. We have some sacks. Set the offense up in good position. Maybe even get some TDs on their own. But I think the Cowboys are going to roll in this one 30-10. And Simon basically has the same result. Cowboys winning 23-6. Then the last afternoon game we have is the Washington Commanders at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 3.5-point favorite. The Broncos are coming off of a very weird loss, but I still think you saw a lot of potential with them. And I just don't really see them losing two in a row, especially because the Commanders, they're not really a good team either. They're in complete disarray. They don't have a plan. You can't really tell what they're going to be. Whereas the Broncos, they have a good coach in Sean Payton. So let's start there. But I do think the Broncos are going to get the win this week, 23-13 over the Commanders. This is another one, though, that Simon and I disagree on. He has the Commanders winning 23-20. And then the Sunday night football game is the Miami Dolphins at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Dolphins are a 2.5-point favorite. Tua Tagovailoa actually owns Bill Belichick, and that says a lot. When you can say you own Bill Belichick, you own that shit. And the New England Patriots look terrible, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They still look stacked defensively. I mean, you still have Belichick, who's an excellent coach, so he knows how to scheme things and he knows how to get things done. But offensively, this team is just dreadful. Whereas the Dolphins, they started off hot last week, and last season they started off hot, so I kind of have a feeling that's how they're going to look this year. So I think they're going to open up a can of whoop-ass on the Patriots, and I think they're going to stomp them 27-17. And Simon also has the Dolphins winning this one 23-17. Now, we also have two Monday Night Football games this week. You know, the league has been doing that. Last year, they switched to doing the two Monday Night Football games on the second week of the season for some reason. Don't know why. Doesn't bother me. More football never upsets me. So we have two Monday Night Football games this week. The first one is the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Saints are a 2.5-point favorite. They're coming off of a very close win, but this New Orleans Saints defense is really, really good. And I think once this offense gets going, this team is going to be a force to reckon with. Whereas the Panthers, they got a rookie quarterback, and they're still really trying to find their way. Defensively, to me, there are no questions with them. But offensively, it's questions galore. And I feel like the Saints' defense is going to just annihilate. As a matter of fact, I think this is going to be a very defensive game where it's just a battle in the trenches, and it's going to be like field goal kick after field goal kick for the most part. But I think it's just going to be a battle between two great defenses, and just the Saints are going to score enough points to get the better of the Panthers in this one. So I have the Saints winning 19-10. And shockingly, Simon is going against his Carolina Panthers, and he's picking the Saints to win 27-24 in a close one as well. And then the final Monday Night Football matchup is the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Browns are a 1.5-point favorite. The Pittsburgh Steelers looked like the worst offense in the league last week. I mean, they were atrocious. It was pathetic, and I don't know what to think of this offense. I don't know if they're ever going to get it going whatsoever because they're so awful. Defensively, they look good, but that defense is going to be on the field for so long because the offense can't do shit that eventually all their guys are going to continue to get hurt like they usually do. So the Steelers just look awful. Now, the Browns don't look that much better, but I think the Browns have a lot more they have Nick Chubb, who's one of the best running backs in the league. So, I mean, in my opinion, they could probably just hand it off to him all night and they won't have an issue. And I just don't see the Pittsburgh Steelers able to really score much at all in this one. As a matter of fact, I feel like their only touchdown might end up being like a defensive touchdown. And then they might score some field goals here and there. But I do think this is going to be a very vanilla game, though, because like I said, I don't really see a lot from the Browns either. And usually Cleveland Browns versus Pittsburgh Steelers games are very low scoring at times. And I kind of feel like how this one's going to turn out. So I have the Browns winning 17-13. And Simon also has the Browns winning 28-20. So that is how the week two is looking for the NFL. Now let's move on to baseball and take a look at the playoff picture and how that looks right now. We have about 3 weeks to go of the baseball season, and we already have a division winner and a team that is already in the playoffs. You probably know because they've dominated all season long, but let's start off with the American League East right now. The Baltimore Orioles still maintain that lead, but it is getting closer and closer. They only have a one-game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. So Tampa, even though they keep having all the negative shit happen, they're keeping it moving and slowly catching up to Baltimore, and they have a shot at taking this division still. Then the American League Central, the Minnesota Twins pretty much have it locked down. The Cleveland Guardians are 8 games behind, and I don't think they're going to catch up. The Guardians have not hit their stride. Francona has already said this is going to be his last season, so I kind of just feel like the Guardians really are just finishing out the season, and that's that. The Twins aren't really that impressive of a team, but they've been a lot better than the Guardians, so I would not be shocked if the Twins maintain this lead over the Guardians. And then in the American League West, it is still a battle. Right now, the Houston Astros maintain a very, very slight lead, a half-game lead over the Texas Rangers, who have still been up and down, but they are right there hanging on, but so are the Astros. So it's going to be a battle for that West, probably up until the last game of the season. And then in the American League Wild Card, right now the top three teams are the Tampa Bay Rays, the Texas Rangers, and the Seattle Mariners, with the Toronto Blue Jays only a game and a half out. So they are still out there on the outside looking in. But that's how we're looking in the American League. Turning to the National League and the National League East, it's official. The Atlanta Braves not only clinched a playoff spot last week, but they now have officially won their division. We all knew that was going to happen, but it became official just the other day. So Atlanta not only is on to the playoffs, but they are they're just looking too goddamn good, y'all. They're just looking too goddamn good. You got to play to win, but look out for those Braves, man. Then in the National League Central, right now the Milwaukee Brewers have a 4.5-game lead over the Chicago Cubs. So the Brewers keep extending that lead, and it's getting further and further out. So it looks like the Brewers might hang on to this one. And then the National League West looks like it's going to be won any day by the Dodgers now, who currently have a 13.5-game lead over my San Francisco Giants. So that should be won by the Dodgers any day. And then turning to the National League wild card spots, right now the top three spots go to the Philadelphia Phillies, the Chicago Cubs, and the San Francisco Giants, with the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Cincinnati Reds tied with all three of those teams. I mean, it's a five-way tie right now, but with the just kind of how the percentages break down and all that, Arizona and Cincinnati would be on the outside looking in if the playoffs were to start today. And then the Miami Marlins are only a half game out as well. So the National League wild card is a clusterfuck, and that's probably going to be the biggest battle in the National League. And the biggest battle in the American League is definitely going to be, well, I mean, the East is going to be a battle, the East, West, and the wild card. So we still have, like I said, 3 weeks of baseball left to go. And so that's a lot of time for some of these teams to get it going. But at this point, like I said, I don't think it fucking matters because the Atlanta Braves are just too damn good. And then closing out the show today, we have a big UFC fight this weekend, at least in my opinion, because I'm a fan of one of the fighters. But we have part two of Alexa Grasso, who is 16-3, versus Valentina Shevchenko, who's 23-4, for Grasso's flyweight championship belt. If you'll remember earlier in the year, Shevchenko got choked out by Grasso in the fourth round of their previous matchup, which was a huge surprise. Grasso really, she's not favored in this one either, but she wasn't really expected to do anything in the last one. And in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I think Shevchenko kind of overlooked Grasso. And I felt like, because, you know, Shevchenko is a badass. If you're a UFC fan, I feel like you got to have, whether you like her or not, you got to have some type of respect for her, because she is just a badass motherfucking fighter. And some of the knockouts this bitch has had, you don't want to see her in a dark alley by herself. That she could handle, I bet she could beat the shit out of men. I'm not talking about UFC men, but I bet she could beat up some just regular fucking dude. So Shevchenko's a badass in my opinion, and I feel like she just overlooked Grasso. So I don't expect her to do that in this one. As a matter of fact, I expect her to just kind of come in. Now, she, in her press conferences, she hasn't really been showing a lot of respect towards Grasso. She kind of said she got a lucky win in the previous matchup, which I don't believe. I actually think Grasso had a great fight. And hey, you won. Sorry. And she beat a damn good fighter, too. So, I just kind of feel like Shevchenko overlooked her, but I don't think she's going to overlook her in this fight. And I do think Shevchenko's going to get the knockout this time around. I'm going to go with Shevchenko in a knockout in the second round, because I just feel like she is looking for revenge. She's looking for blood. And I think she's going to do it in a Shevchenko type of way. So that's how I have the UFC fight turning out this weekend. Of course, we have college football on tap. Not really any intriguing matchups. I feel like we're going to see a whole lot of ass kickings this weekend. But hey, hook 'em horns as always. I'm always excited about that because they're looking good. But got another jam-packed weekend of sports. So enjoy all the football, all the baseball, all the fighting. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.